You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The mission is Hayabusa 2, launched by the Japanese Space Agency in 2014 for the asteroid Ryugu. The contact was made, the mission approached in 2018. In 2019, Ryugu approached Hayabusa approached Ryugu twice and took up a sample to return to Earth. It left Ryugu orbit and came back to Earth, landing in December of 2020. This is Hotel Mars, Episode N, with David Livingston, Dr. Space, my colleague and co-host, and we're very pleased to welcome back someone who's intimately involved in the asteroid missions, both with Hayabusa 2 and with OSIRIS-REx, another asteroid for another day, Bennu. We welcome Harold Connolly, Dr. Harold Connolly, mission sample scientist for OSIRIS-REx, but was in Japan most recently during the pandemic for the work on the sample back from Ryugu, a very large sample. Harold, welcome back and congratulations. And David, you have a question about the sample. Go ahead, David.
I'm curious, when you work with this sample, do you actually lose or contaminate part of the sample so you end up, after studying it, having less of it?
Great question. Gentlemen, first of all, thank you for having me back. It's great to be here again with you. And this time I'm coming to you from my office at Rowan University in Southern New Jersey, as opposed to previous times when I was talking on my cell phone to you because of pandemic. So I hope you're both well. And the answer to your question is there is some sample that gets actually used up in the analysis process, small milligrams of sample, tiny little bits of sample that do get destroyed in analysis process. Most of it is not. It's what we call in situ analysis, everything from looking at it visually through a microscope, through applying it, electron microprobe to it, et cetera. So teeny little bit of it does, and it's such a beautiful sample. It's incredibly dark and little sparkles. It's like being an astronomer out in the middle of the Pacific and looking up at the stars, and you see the blackness around it with these little twinkles. But little minerals catch the light, and they twinkle inside the darkness of this little tiny samples they brought back.
This is the stuff of dreams, Harold.
This is
a carbonaceous chondrite. And that is a particular kind of asteroid that you and your colleagues study, because it takes us back to the origins of our solar system. Are you looking at fundamental solar system when you examine this sample?
Indeed, we are. Asteroid Ryugu, like asteroid Bennu, are basically time capsules that captured material that was formed in the earliest time periods of our solar system's formation.
And captured, what you're looking at then is a way to reason backwards as to how we created the solar system and how it is that here on planet Earth, we move around and ask questions.
Exactly right. Exactly. And also potentially help us understand how these asteroids move through space now and better predict their movement so they don't become necessarily so dangerous to us, or we can follow them to make sure we're okay.
An evolutionary development that has resulted in good things and bad things to happen over the last 4.5 billion years. David?
To the best of your expertise, is Ryugu special and exceptional? I mean, we haven't analyzed that many return samples from asteroids. Mm. Do you think it's more common or more unique?
Great question. So I'll put it this way. My colleagues and friends at JAXA and various institutions associated with the first Hayabusa 2 mission brought back sample from asteroid Itokawa that turned out to be identical to the most abundant meteorites that we find on Earth, called equilibrated ordinary chondrites. Our colleagues at JAXA go and get a sample of a carbonaceous asteroid and bring back to Earth the rarest kinds of meteorites found on Earth. Only 9 of them are known for this particular kind of meteorite that is analogous to Rugu on Earth. So it's pretty rare.
The sample includes material that could be argued to be fundamental, a building block of what we call life, carbon-based life. In here are also amino acids. Was that a surprise, Harold?
For me, not necessarily. Everything is a surprise. At the same time, I'm very happy to get any results that come out. So linking the earliest planetary materials that we have now in our collections with Rugu and what will soon be sampled from Bennu, that's the real ticket for me.
The fact that you found amino acids then, not a surprise, but you found a lot of them. At first report, it was 10. Now it's 20. Maybe it's climbing.
Well, wait, there's going to be more papers come out. Let's see what happens.
I know. I can only report on what's
going on. I can't say much because the papers aren't all out yet.
David, he just pulled rank on us. He knows where we're going. Go ahead, David.
And I'm not an expert on amino acids, let me put it that way too. So I'm a petrologist, I study the rocks. But yes, it's incredibly exciting, as you both obviously know and are expressing right now.
David?
One of the articles said that there were polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons similar to terrestrial petroleum. Mm. So what I know about petroleum is it's supposed to come from the remains of organic material from, you know, hundreds of millions of years ago, dinosaurs or whatever. So how is this different? How are you finding something similar to petroleum on an asteroid? Or do I not understand it?
Yeah, it's not a great analogy, to be honest with you. I'm sorry to say. It's not like petroleum. It's the structure is similar to what you might find in other kinds of organic materials here on Earth, but it does not dictate that it is the same or comes from the same process that produces what we see on Earth. There's a difference, fundamental difference, right?
What we're looking at here then is more clues, but without payoff yet. We're building a library of what's in a carbonaceous chondrite. And this is the fun part, Harold. I'm giving you an unlimited budget. What do you need to do now to advance the story? Do you need to go back to Ryugu? Do you need to go into the asteroid belt and get more samples? What?
I'll say two things. One, yes, go and sample every different kind of asteroid that there is and bring it back for study. That's very important. And number two, we look at and we think about finding the fundamental building blocks for life. And one of the most important questions in all of science and philosophy is, what is the origin of life? But in order to have life as we know it, we need things like water, oxygen, etc. That requires that we need a planet. And we don't know how planets are fully formed. And by studying these chondrites, that's part of the picture as well, is understanding through studying asteroid return material how rocky planets form. And that is very important.
The rocky planets are the inner solar system, and we enjoy the fruits of labor that we don't entirely understand, is my reading, Doctor. Is that correct? We have theories about how we created the solar system was created, but it's not fixed.
That's correct. We have hypotheses and theories, and it's a wonderful job security to be able to keep searching and looking.
David?
What is next for Ryugu studying? Because you're still studying the material, I imagine. Do you have any expectations or clues of what's next?
Well, right. So the Hayabusa 2 team is finished now, essentially studying the sample. The team itself will disband. The mission will become an extended mission to do something else. But now the samples are being released to the general scientific community around the world through the JAXA Curation Facility, and we'll continue to study the basic questions that the Hayabusa 2 team also looked at for future generations. This will continue long after I'm not even here anymore. That's what the expectation is.
And final question, Harold, because what we're looking at here is a mystery inside of a mystery. The yes. Ryugu and the Bennu, are they similar? I think that they're similar asteroids, but do they come from different parts of the asteroid belt? Have we determined that?
Well, not yet. They very well may be cousins of some kind. There's been a lot of research on that particular issue. And until we get the samples back, we're not really going to know how similar they are. Basically, what Hayabusa 2 brought back for its samples of Ryugu is what we predicted we will get from Bennu. So now, I don't know what we're going to get from Bennu.
That's your work, your correct. Osiris Rex, your Bennu itself. So what right, we've learned from Ryugu is that we don't have an understanding of what we're going to get from Bennu then. It's deepened the mystery.
Well, we have predictions based on our observing campaign around the asteroid for the time period that we were there looking at it. So we have definite predictions that we're going to find. But the predictions that the Hayabusa 2 team made about Ryugu sample were slightly different when we got the sample back and analyzed it, which is really fun.
Harold Connolly will join us again once he gets the Bennu samples back to talk about the compare and contrast. He's a mission sample scientist for OSIRIS-REx, the mission to Bennu. He was also working with JAXA, the Japanese Space Agency, on the Hayabusa mission to Ryugu. David Livingston, Dr. Space of the Space Show. This is Hotel Mars Episode N. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
At CVS, it matters that we're not just in your community, but that we're part of it. It matters that we're here for you when you need us, day or night. And we want everyone to feel welcomed and rewarded. It matters that CVS is here to fill your prescriptions and here to fill your craving for a tasty and, yeah, healthy snack. At CVS, we're proud to serve your community because we believe where you get your medicine matters. So visit us at CVS.com or just come by our store. We can't wait to meet you. Store hours vary by location.